Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our Due Time crew. And we started off with what strange things attract women to men. Oh, we talked about the fact that he interacts with the kids. Now, is that a strange reason? I don't know, but it's on this list. You know, they talk about, you know, if they love the kids and they take with the kids and they treat the kids nice, that attracts some women to men. Go figure. I don't know. I don't know why that's strange or why that wouldn't be strange. I don't know. So go figure. Oh, this was a big one. His singing. You know, we've always seen women act so weird when it comes to a man singing. Remember they said they used to throw the panties up on the, up on the stage? Yes. So I guess if you put it like that, that would make it strange. Okay. Well, this is weird hobby. Now, I don't know why that would attract some women to a man, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that's definitely one that's on this list. The Due Time crew said, that is a weird one. They don't know what list I was pulling this from. So, I don't know. You know, sometimes weird is weird. Sometimes weird is normal. I don't know. That's the way this world seems to be going. Well, anyway, that's the conversation that we had for our relationship Monday. Well, we could not get through a Monday if we did not finish with the switch tip with Chanti. And stop choosing to walk in misery was the topic for this week. Yes. Now, misery loves company. We know that. But, you know, if you are claiming to be a child of God, it's one thing to be down. It's another thing to, you know, allow this thing here to absorb you so much that, you know, God gets no glory out of your life. And that's the one thing we have to make sure we stay away from. We don't get absorbed and sucked into, you know, all of this, you know, misery and depression and, you know, letting everything pull us down and things like that, you know? So, you know, let's show people that God is a good God. Let's show people that God is an amazing God. And he can pull us out of those miserable times. Because if we walk around in misery, we don't show any power of God. So let's turn it on and turn it up so that the light can shine through us. Okay? All right. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And we had such a good conversation on Tuesday. Well, we started off talking about the 12-year-old who robbed the gas station. So calm, cool, and collected. Didn't seem to, you know, budge as he fired the shot up in the air. We talked about the Florida man found guilty when the waitress noticed that his stepson looked a little different than normal children look. He had some bruises on his arm and looked a little withdrawn. And she held up their sign, "Do you need help?" And he said yes. And she saved him from a life filled with abuse. So thank God for her quick thinking. And, you know, we turned that around and we talked about, you know, people of God. And, you know, do we think on our feet? Are we quick to move and think and, you know, save the day? You know, can we talk to people and detect that people need God's help? Yeah. You know, that was one of the questions that came up. And, you know, we really have to think about things like that. Are we calm, cool, and collected when we are functioning? Are we? I don't know, y'all. I don't know. You know, I don't know. When people look at us, what do they see? That's something we really got to think about, right? All right. So let these two lessons be, or let these two, what do you call it, news stories be a lesson to us that maybe we can act the same way. Okay? Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we started off with our girlfriend Vivian, and we're happy to see that those COVID numbers have come down in at least four of our primary states. And she talked about the joke in the mall out in Bay Plaza where everybody got the running and hiding and all of this kind of stuff because they thought that some firecrackers that were let off in the mall were gunshots. And, you know, these days and times, you can't say what's what. Everybody's just going to automatically duck to be on the safe side. Well, she also gave us a story about the mom and the daughter. Daughter wanted dad to, or absentee dad, let's make sure we put that in there, to come to the graduation. And mom couldn't come because dad said that the only way he would come is if mom didn't come. And she ultimately chose mom to not come because she wanted to see dad at the graduation. You know, hey, he had missed all nine of them, so this one might be just a little different. Well, after she sends mom packing with girlfriends and cousins and aunties to go do some other things on graduation day, dad doesn't show up. And I got to call mom to see if mom can join this party because I don't want to be without anybody. Well, she ended up being without anybody because mom said, "I'm not showing up. You already told me not to come, and I'm going to honor your wish. I already got plans." So that was one of our hot topics, not just for the socially conscious segment, but also that the ladies talked about. Yeah, you know, how would we respond? So I think we need to go back and listen to Wednesday because we also got an integrated response from Pastor Charlene with her Faith Over Fear segment. Yeah, she did both. She talked as a mom, and she gave us a quick Faith Over Fear segment. And yeah, we ended up going out on a great note Wednesday. Okay. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we got to talking about, let's see, the preschool teachers caught on camera after they poked a little child in the head, after they did what else? Oh, need the little kid in the back? Yeah. I don't know. You know, we're really losing it here. And unfortunately, this is what we're sending our children out to every day. But thank God they were caught on camera. So how in the world they thought they were going to get away with that one? And here was the interesting part. Your whole visa, your immigration status rose to the occasion, and people actually had to hold you back in jail because of your immigration status. So you think you act right, right? All righty. You think you act right if you weren't here legally. Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Okay. Well, we also talked about how to help our people when it comes to anxiety. And one of the things we talked about was helping them to have a realistic expectation. You know, a lot of times people go through anxiety because they're all twisted over things that they want, things that they expect. And sometimes those expectations aren't realistic. Yeah. So, I don't know. You got to help them see the better side of things and the realistic side of things. Well, one of the other things that a normal Christian individual would do when it comes to helping someone through anxiety, pray. Yes, we want to make sure we not only go before God on their behalf, but we want to make sure that we go before God with them. Yes, that's big. Don't, you know, I always tell my congregation, don't just send people off to pray. Pray with them, because a lot of people don't understand what to pray for. And they start praying for all things that may not be in sync with the Lord's will. But if they hear you pray, wow, you're teaching them something. Okay? So those are just two of the things we talked about. How to help our loved one with anxiety, or friend, or church family member, or, you know, co-worker. You know, set that example. All right. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever it is we want to do. And hear the men and listen to the men is what we do. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward, as I'm sure you are too, of going out with a bang today. They have really been sending us out with some thought-provoking stuff on Friday to send us into a weekend. And we're looking forward to them doing the same thing again today. All right. Well, get that healthy breakfast. Make sure that you tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And last but not least, don't you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
1 in 250 Americans live with aphasia, and 180,000 Americans will be diagnosed with aphasia this year.
Aphasia is a deficit in the ability to produce and comprehend written and spoken language due to damage to the brain.
Do, talk to them using a normal loudness level and even-paced speech. Don't, talk too quickly. Do, use visual aids and gestures. Don't, talk down to people with aphasia.
Do, use close-ended and yes or no questions. Don't, use open-ended questions when speaking to them. Do, highlight or emphasize key words. Don't, isolate them during conversation.
Do, engage in conversation. Don't, communicate in big groups or loud environments. Do, use simple sentences. Don't, get frustrated.
Do, remember to be patient. Don't, cut them off while they are speaking. Do, use encouraging words when speaking to individuals with aphasia. Don't, assume they are intellectually impaired.
Good morning again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Freestyle Friday. We get to do whatever it is we want to do. And talk to the men is what we do. All right? I just pray you had a wonderful week. This week went flying by, my goodness. You know, and we have so much to give God thanks for. We've actually arrived at Friday at the end of a school week and a work week. And, you know, we're grateful to God that we arrived safely, because that's just really an understatement these days. We just pray to get from one point to the next. And God does his job well, as we have experienced, you know, things that that have not taken us out of here. Even if we went through something, he's kept us safely through the night. So everyone has awakened just by the touch of his hand. So come on, you should be shouting, 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 shouting. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Alrighty. So let's get to chatting about some of this news that I found. Well, here we go. I had a feeling like something like this would end up happening. They say a police officer shot and killed a man who allegedly tried to enter an elementary school in Alabama this week. And they say that the superintendent of schools told the reporters that a potential intruder was actually going around trying doors of, you know, a school that was populated by students and teachers. And a school resource officer is what they call them out in Alabama. You know, I guess what we would call our school safety came out and engaged the gentleman in conversation. And then the interaction unfortunately escalated. So the officer, school officer, called for police backup. And by the time the police showed up, there was a physical altercation between the student officer, and they were all over the school lawn, I guess, rolling around. And after multiple attempts to subdue the suspect, unfortunately, the police ended up fatally shooting him. And they didn't know whether, you know, the suspect was armed or not, because again, you know, he was approached by the officer of the school, and, you know, he never did pull out anything. And but he was accused of trying to take the student officer's gun. And they say they don't know why he tried to enter the school. So I guess that wasn't part of the conversation with the school safety officer. And unfortunately, you know, this individual is not here anymore to tell the story. So he can't say as to why he was trying the doors, you know. But these days and times, you're not going to be able to do stuff like that. They're automatically going to assume that you mean the students and the teachers harm. And they're not playing. They are so not playing with this kind of stuff. Not anymore. Not anymore. You know, and I guess during the conversation with the officer, the student officer, it never came out. It never came out as to why he was trying the doors. Well, if you're trying the door in this climate, ain't nobody thinking that you, you know, are going to, you know, not do somebody harm. Because why would you be trying doors opposed to accessing, you know, the school normal? You know, going to the door, you know, to the front desk and stuff like that. People are going to automatically assume that you up to no good. And, you know, we don't even know why he was trying to get into the school. But unfortunately, you know, that's how the story ended. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. These stories just, they get worse and worse. But this one really blew me away. I was laying down and I had to sit up when I read the end of this particular story. So you have this young lady, and I don't even think they ever gave her age, but she's a teenager. She's a young lady, and she's been accused, or convicted, rather. She's been convicted of killing two young boys and their grandmother. And during her sentencing, she still, you know, said that she was not guilty. So here we go. So she, the 53-year-old grandmother, a child who's 8, the grandchild 8, and the grandchild 4 were all in the home. And they say that this young lady stopped to ask a neighbor if she could borrow their lighter or a lighter after she threw a brick through this woman's, through the grandmother's window. Okay? So she threw the brick through the window. She then set the couch and the curtains on fire. And they say within minutes, that house was engulfed in flames. And it was engulfed in flames so quickly that this 53-year-old woman and her two grandchildren were unable to get out of the house. And they all died from this fire. And they said that they had no chance of escaping. And they all died of smoke inhalation. Well, because this young lady was convicted of first-degree murder, the law says in her state that she has to be sentenced to life in prison without the chance of parole. So they're going to appeal her conviction. But here's the thing. They say that the reason why this happened, this young lady was dating the grandmother's son. And she thought that the son was cheating on her with another 16-year-old in Detroit. And she was a hothead. She's a hothead because they say that generally they would hear her, you know, say all kinds of things. But they brushed it off. Well, this time, they could brush this one off. She texted him and said, "I'm outside your mom's house. I hope your mom likes being burned alive." That's what she texted the boyfriend. And they said that, you know, she had made all these empty threats prior. They didn't think she meant anything. Well, this time, apparently she did. And that was your reason for setting this woman's house on fire. Because you thought he was cheating with another 16-year-old. And that's what you text. I'm going to repeat that. She texts, I hope your mother likes being burned alive. What in the world is going on with these people? So here's what she tells the judge. "I didn't do it. I know I've made, you know, other threats and I've said other things, but I didn't do anything then and I didn't do anything now. And had I been there that night, I would have jumped in and without a second thought." And she says, "I may have done some stupid things, but I would never do anything like that. So I just hope that by somebody paying for these deaths, that life can move on, that these people, the family, can move on with their lives, even if it's an innocent person." Really? Really? So finally, she says, she wished no one had stopped her from killing herself that night, because then at least her time of death would have proven she didn't kill those three people. Now, they got you asking for the lighter. They got you throwing the brick through the woman's window. They got you with the text message, "I hope your mom likes being burned alive." Oh my gosh. What, you know, I don't understand what air these kids are breathing. But here it is now. You are being sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now here you are, 16 years old. Now let's go through this here. I don't want to start off like that, because sometimes it is fortunately. They have lifted, the federal mandate has lifted that a young person, any child, cannot be sentenced to death or life in prison for some instances. Yeah, they took the death row. The young children can't go onto death row anymore, because they're saying that, you know, during their time of, you know, of the crime, that, you know, they weren't thinking properly, and could they be held to the same thinking standard as, you know, the other, you know, people who commit these kind of crimes. And certain times they could not be even sentenced to life without parole. So certain times they would lift and they would have to do a certain amount of time, but then they would be eligible for parole. So I'm a little puzzled as to how they ended up with this young lady. Now, I don't know if it's because she's 16, but in that state, again, once you've been convicted of first-degree murder, that's an automatic sentence. So here you are, possibly giving up the rest of your life for a boy and a girl who ain't never going to think about you again. And the only way the boy is going to think about you is the fact that you killed his mother and his niece, his niece and nephew. I think it was a boy and a girl. Or two boys, his two nephews. What were you going to accomplish when you set this place on fire? Because you intended. You said it. I hope your mom likes being burned alive. You intended to do this thing here, even to the point that you said it. And now you're going to say you're innocent. If you had been there, you would have jumped in without even thinking of it. Yeah, right. But I don't know, y'all. I don't know. This world, now I'm going with Pastor Kim. We really know that the world is coming to, is closing, because we don't even stand a chance against these young people. Okay. Well, on The View, they have been getting into some serious, heated conversations about these gun laws and how there's been a lackadaisical approach to fixing the gun laws. And Joy Behr made a very interesting comment. And she said, you know what? If black people get guns in this country, oh, somebody's going to start paying attention. And she's absolutely right. You know, they were going back and forth with this woman who is a gun owner. And she talked about the fact that, you know, there was a man in Connecticut who built his own AR-15 after his neighbor's home was, you know, ransacked and attacked. And he bought this, the material and the parts to build the AR-15, because I guess he couldn't get, you know, an AR-15, you know, in its completion as a full gun. And he built one. He's black. And so what's going to stop black people from getting guns if you can build them yourself? And she didn't think that, you know, that would stop these people from getting the guns, because if you can go and buy the parts to put the gun together, then you would end up having a gun at the end of the day anyway. So that's when Joy Behr, you know, made her statement. And she said, we'll see some change. We might be begging for change. We might be pleading for change. We may have not heard the signs that we need a change, but change ain't coming until black people start getting guns in this country and they start doing some damage. And she's absolutely right. Had this been, had these shootings taken place, these school shootings, because we all know the subway shooting, but we're talking about school shootings and the guns that were used to shoot the children in the school and this one here at the supermarket, that had these been black people, oh, they would have invented rules and laws to ensure that this didn't happen anymore. Ain't nobody sitting down on that. You can best believe that.
And unfortunately, that's the climate we're living in. We're living in a climate where, you know, as long as the people on the other side of the fence do it, then you know what? We'll move slowly. But when it comes to us, there's no exception. They're going to take care of everything they need to take care of in order for us to get everything we're supposed to get. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Tell me if you agree. Maybe we're wrong. 347-285-7777. Tell us if, you know, if you think that it won't really make a difference. But they'll still drag their feet. All righty? Okay. I got a couple more stories for you before we start talking to our men. Well, you know, we've been following the R. Kelly story. And they're about to sentence him. So they say that with all that's going on, that he's facing a minimum of 10 years. And the prosecutors in New York want R. Kelly to serve 25 years in prison after the Brooklyn jury convicted him of 9 charges in his racketeering and sex trafficking trial. Now, we all know that R. Kelly ain't got 10 or 25 years to give up, but he may have to face, you know, this particular type of time because they are bringing up all kinds of stuff. So they're saying that, you know, they feel that he's had a disregard for the crimes that he's committed on his victims. They said that they want to also sentence him to a fine between $50,000 to $250,000. They say that he's a predator. He has been manipulating these young women as a singer. Remember, we talked the other day about, you know, the things that, you know, women are attracted to. Well, they've always called him the Pied Piper. And they have used that term even in his court trial. Yeah, the fact that he's known as the Pied Piper and he can get women to, you know, do whatever he wants to do based on the fact that he's a singer and he can make promises and, you know, teenagers, you know, kind of become swayed when people like him, you know, are talking to them. And they're bringing up the fact that he was acquitted back in 2008 of 14 counts of child pornography, but they're smashing him this time in this Brooklyn case regarding that same pornography going across state lines. So that's why the feds are involved. Okay, so they're even bringing up the Aaliyah marriage, and they're saying that he manipulated her because, you know, he knew he was dealing with her and she was 15 years old, he was 27, and to manipulate her to marry him would mean that a wife couldn't, quote-unquote, testify against her husband, that it would no longer be seen illegal if, you know, they were married. Then another story came out that if that he coerced her because she was pregnant. He believed she was pregnant, and in order to make that legal, he married her. But all in all, he didn't marry her because he loved her. So they're throwing all of that into the pot as well. And he has another trial in Chicago starting in August. And he's also facing child pornography charges and obstruction of justice charges.
So at the end of this month, he's going to hear what exactly New York is going to sentence him to. And I have a feeling that they're going to smash him, whether he deserves it or not, again, because he's on this side of the fence, and they can. Yeah, they're going to make an example out of him. And we've been talking about this for a minute. Well, now it's time to see what they're going to do. So we'll hear at the end of the month how much time he's going to get for New York. Now, he's facing the minimum of 10 years in New York. So if he got 10 years here and 10 years in, Chicago, from Chicago, he's not coming out before he's 75 years old, pretty much. So you better hope he didn't take care of his life, because that's the only time he's going to be singing. Yeah. That's the way it's going down for R. Kelly. Now, I want to do this last story, and I thought this was pretty interesting. They have this this woman who has been praying on the drunks in Milwaukee. So her and another individual ultimately have been scheming against these men who they find at a bar or an after-hours spot or somewhere where they either have been drinking so much that they are out of it, or they've just simply been drinking and they figure that they can, you know, offer them a ride home and they would rip them off. So they said that they offered to take this guy home or back to his hotel. And when he started drinking, and they said, you know, we'll take you home. You got to worry about drinking and driving. And they said he never got home. He never got to the hotel. He said he tried to connect with the woman, but he never could connect with her. They said that when he finally realized anything, another gentleman who got schemed and scammed, he found he was missing his Rolex watch, his 3 gold chains, his diamond cut bracelets, and his wallet with multiple credit cards and identification cards. He told him that ultimately about $35,000was missing. Now, they tried to do this again, and they succeeded. They offered this guy a ride. He never made it home and ended up in the back of the car when he woke up. And they, when they did, you know, the research, and all of these people started coming to, you know, the surface, they were saying that they didn't know any particulars, because they had been so drunk, they couldn't even tell what the women really looked like. Some of the stuff they could not recall was missing. And now they caught up with this woman. She's facing 17 counts, and they're really looking to smash her. And they said that when she started the string of thefts, she was doing it by herself. And then later, she picked up someone else to help her get through these crimes. And how she got caught was she tried to pull it with some woman and asked the woman, you know, did she want to ride home, and got to the woman's pocketbook. And the woman, I guess, wasn't as drunk as she thought she was, and she ended up wrestling with the victim, and she took her phone and pocketbook and jumped out of the car. So now they are sentencing her on August 22nd. So I'm interested in seeing, I hope they post what they're going to give her, because she's got 17 counts against her. So I want to see. They say she could face up to 28 and a half years in prison. So that's a long time to be facing for some wallets and things that you are not even going to be able to spend. Okay? And she's 35. So if you spend another 30 years, pretty much, you're going to be 65 when you come out. So maybe she'll get parole. Maybe she won't. But I guess we shall find out. So let's talk to our brother Al and get our quote for the day. Good morning, brother Al.
Morning, morning, morning up in here. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So far, so good. Like I like to hear. Okay, so I will give you my quote here. You will face many defeats in life, but never let yourself be defeated. And that's by my girl, Maya Angelou. I love Maya Angelou. She got some great quotes.
Okay. All right. Maybe you can tell that to R. Kelly. All right.
I know, right?
don't get defeated. Don't get defeated now. You may have to face this 25 years,
bro.
But don't get defeated.
25.
All righty. Let's talk about this this news here. So we have this, let me see which one. You've got this young lady, and she's 16 years old, excuse me, and she thinks that her boyfriend is cheating on her with another 16-year-old. So, you know, they say she's a hothead, and previously she had made other threats and said all kind of crazy things. And as she said, I know I've said all stupid things, but, you know, I would not do this. And the this is set a house afire with a 53-year-old, which was the young man's mother, an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. And they say that the grandson begged to stay with the grandma this night. And mom let them stay there. And this young lady throws a brick through the window, asks someone who's passing by if they had a lighter, and she set the curtain and the couch on fire. And the three of them die of smoke inhalation. But before she sets the house on fire, she texts the boyfriend and says, I hope your mom likes being burned alive. Brother Al, you have really, really lost it. When you do something as heinous as this, and she will now spend the rest of her life without the possibility of parole. The text, I'm outside your mom's house. I hope your mom likes being burned alive. And she's still saying she didn't do it. Now, if you had sent the text, you dope, you'd have already told on yourself. You know, are these, I mean, are you twisted up so bad over a 16-year-old boy that you're going to set the people on fire, his mother on fire? Brother Al, this is just too much. This is just way too much.
Yeah, you know, it's insane. You know, as you can see, the killers and everybody is getting younger and younger and younger. And, you know, one of the things I've been, you know, I speak a lot with the kids. I speak a lot with my parents. And one of the things I tell them is that, you know, when you got daughters, I don't have any daughters, thank God. And nothing against the girls, but I didn't want no daughters. But I watch and I hear these parents, oh, I teach my daughter how a man is supposed to treat her. A man's supposed to open a door for her. A man's supposed to do this and that. But they don't, they leave out the part that there are predators that say, oh, that's what you like? Cool, I'm going to do that so I can get what I want. So parents leave out that part. They leave out to their daughters, hey, listen, the first time you're going to be intimate with somebody, this is what you're going to go through. So they skip those parts. Because I've seen young lady, oh, my mother said, I've done it myself in college. Well, I've met a young woman. I get in the car. She's like, well, my mother said, if a man really like you, he'll open the car door. I'm like, you little pretty little thing. Let me open this door for you. You know, so we skip past telling them the other part of that. And so and these young boys, they out to get one thing. And these young girls don't know how to handle it because now your body is acting different. You got a different thing. And they get, I see it here at the school. It gets even younger than that. And I'm just like, wow, like this is insane. I was at my other school, I was working in elementary school. It was a young, I'm talking about a kid in the seventh grade, was infatuated with this girl. And the girl didn't want to be bothered. And he went home and scratched his face off. So, you know, we're not explaining the full thing about relationships with these kids. They think they know. And this young lady just got crazy. And you got that much anger in you to go kill a whole family. And I can imagine the young man, when he got the call, he probably said, yeah, right, or whatever. And like, wow, okay, here it is. And yes, she should go to jail. People might say, oh, she's a kid. You did a hideous crime. You should go to jail. She deserves everything she get with that. I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, because she's always been a hothead, they have ignored a lot of the things that she said. So you're right. When he got the text that says, I'm outside your mother's house, and I hope your mom likes being burned alive, they probably ignored it. Probably didn't pay no attention, thinking this was just another time she was, you know, making these false threats. And unfortunately, they didn't even have a chance. They said it went up in flames so quickly that they didn't even have a chance. And, you know, now you're paying.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. No, what I was saying is, and for people who don't know, I've been in a building when I lived in a project, and there was a fire next door to me. And that smoke will overcome you so bad. I was blessed to get out, and I was the only one home at the time, but it was next door was a fire. And what I tell you, like, people really don't understand when they say, smoke, how can you, when that smoke hits you, it takes your breath. You cannot breathe. You start panicking. So that smoke inhalation is a horrible death. I mean, I just got out, and I was just like, oh, my God. And that smoke inhalation is something.
Wow. Yeah, well, unfortunately, she's not taking ownership of her actions. They've got her asking for the lighter. They've got her text that says, I'm at your mom's house. But she's still talking about she didn't do it. So I guess, you know, she's going down with she didn't do it. All right. We're talking about, you know, these gun laws and things all week. And, you know, Joy Behar, you know, from The View says one simple thing. You know, they're dragging their feet on these gun laws. You know, they're taking their time. They are not doing anything despite the fact that these children are being killed. But I bet once a black person gets guns in this country, once black people get guns in this country, oh, we'll see a response. They're not going to waste no time responding to that. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100% agree on that. You know, it's just like if it was some black people, okay, shoot up these schools and stuff like that. Oh, that would have been in the play. You know, it's sad that it's that way and people don't want to see the truth, but it's the truth. If that was a black person shooting up these schools and doing all this craziness, oh, it would have been into order. They would have been did it.
Yeah, it's something to think about. It's something to think about. You know, They're dragging their feet. They're not doing anything. You know, everything is fine. But if the tables were turned to the black population, there would be a whole lot of laws in effect. A whole lot of laws. All righty. We got this sentencing time for our friend R. Kelly. And you know, we've talked about this before. So, you know, this is just a continuation. We've gone through, you know, these points over his case before. So now it's New York sentencing time. So they're saying he's facing at least a minimum of 10 years. But they want, the prosecutors are asking for 25 years because of his predatory behavior, the child pornography issue, this racketeering issue. What do you think? Do you think the 10 years would be fine for what he did? Let me make sure I show what the sentencing is based on. Let me see how many counts he has. I think I did read that part. No. They didn't say. But his attorney is looking to get him 14 years here in New York. Now, remember, this is just New York. This is not anything Chicago-based. This is not anything based on any other area, because they said they do have him for another state, and they're trying to smash him on that state too. They're trying to get him a court case in that state too. But you got this 10-year minimum. They're going for 25. What do you think of this sentencing?
Wow, you know, I'm all for whatever the law says he should get, because you don't go messing with the babies, you know. I, like I told you, as an artist, I think he's an incredible artist, an incredible writer. My problem is that, okay, you're going to do that, but then once you do that, then you need to start where the problem starts at, like these states out here that say it's okay to date a 16-year-old. That needs to change. What do a 16-year-old know? But you're saying it's okay to date a 16-year-old. The people that was with him, because he had help doing this. Everybody should go down with it. You don't mess with the baby. But, you know, if depending on the accounts that he got and the amount of years that they give, he deserves every bit of it, you know. And to send a message that, hey, listen, you can't be a predator on our kids and think it's okay and get away with it. So, and I know they're going to set an example with him anyway. So, yeah.
Okay. All righty. Let's see. What else are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about this woman who made sure she got her share of money, as she would rob these men who were drunk in these bars, offer them a ride home, and rip them off. One man, she went back to the hotel with him. He doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember anything, but he does know that he's got several $35,000 worth of stuff, a Rolex watch, 3 gold chains, 2 diamond cut bracelets, and his wallet with multiple credit and debit cards. And she got him for every bit of that. You got the one she left in the back of the car. He doesn't remember how he got there. And you've got her trying to rob an intoxicated woman by offering her a ride home. And they got to, I guess she wasn't as drunk as she thought she was. So she finally, got away with her phone and her pocketbook, which is what the woman was trying to go after. Now, they're saying she can get up to 28 and a half years. What is your thought? You think that she should get that 28 and a half years?
Wow, that's a lot of time right there. But, like I said, I'm all for punishment when people are taking advantage of people and doing stuff, but also on the people, too. Why are you going out getting drunk out your mind when you don't know what you're doing or where you're at? You know, and she saw an opportunity of that, and she saw, okay, I got away the first, second time. This is easy. Let me go in and pray on these people. And, you know, and, yeah, she should get the time. Get it, yep. Yeah, and you got as much time to think about it. Let's see if you can get Big Martha drunk while you're in prison.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Hopefully, I want to hear what they give her. I'm real interested to find out if after these 17 counts, that if she gets the 28 and a half years, she probably won't get all of that time. But I'm interested. I'm definitely interested in seeing what they give her. Well, thank you so much, Brother Al, for joining us this morning. We'll be back to pitching, talking. And we'll say good morning right now to Pastor KL.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am okay, thank you. I'm okay. How are you over there?
I'm okay as well, thank you.
Okay. Let's hope as you start talking, we'll get some, you'll start feeling a little more perky. We got this young lady, 16 years old.
Thank you, Jesus. Everything's all right.
All right. Now, that's what I'm looking to hear. That's what you want. You have to be inspired by Brother Al's quote for the day by Maya Angelou. That should have given you some pep in your step. You know, come on. That's why we get these quotes every time Brother Al is on. So, listen, let me hear what you got to say about this 16-year-old young lady who is a hothead. She's constantly, you know, saying things, as she says, stupid things when she gets upset. And she thinks that her boyfriend is cheating on her with another 16-year-old. So she goes over to the house, his mother's house, throws a brick through the window, asks a passerby if they have a lighter, sets the woman's couch and curtains on fire, and texts him and says, I'm outside your mom's house. I hope your mom likes being burned alive. And she's claiming that it wasn't her. If it were her, she would have been there and jumped through the window to save them. She would never do anything like that. And she wishes she had committed suicide. So everybody would have let her die that day. Because in doing so, based on the timing of her killing herself, they couldn't pair her up with this crime. Well, what's your thought?
Well, I mean, my first thought, of course, is she's lying. You know, she definitely had all parts in it. But you know what? Back in my former days, we used to say you had your nose wide open. But she got her nose wide open, and she got hurt. And, you know, talk about a woman's scorn is dangerous. Now, a little girl's scorn is even more dangerous because that might have been her first love, her first sweetheart, her first piece, and she had her feelings hurt. You know, and she just lost it. She went crazy. She didn't realize that this too shall pass and it's probably going to happen again. She was just facing it at the time she was facing it, and she never dealt with this before, so she didn't know how to react to it, but she reacted in the wrong way.
Absolutely. And this is definitely premeditated. When you're standing outside, I'm out and texting, I'm outside your mom's house, and I hope your mom likes being burned alive. You knew what you were doing. This ain't got nothing to do with no hot-headedness. This ain't got nothing to do with I done said stupid things before. You knew exactly what you were doing. Well, because in the state of Michigan, once you are sentenced, once you're found guilty of first-degree murder, you are now automatically sentenced to life in jail without parole. Do you think that this is befitting for a 16-year-old crime?
Now, I mean, as heinous as the crime is, I really don't think it would be fitting for a 16-year-old. I mean, I think she should have went into a mental institution. Now, mind you, you know, you had murder and you had arson. So yeah, you there had to be something, you know, saying that a loose screw or something. You know, when you can think about stuff like this and pulling this off, you're not as most folks would say normal. There has to be some kind of loose screw in you. And I think putting her in prison, you know, does not fix the problem. Now she's going to go in prison and think about how she can shank the security guard, how she can shank her roommate. I mean, her mind is just going to be elevated to criminal activity because she has nothing to lose now.
So let me ask you this. So if you, because you can't pretty much bring something out of a person that's not in them. So if she could get to the point of now thinking to shank people or, you know, somehow murder or hurt others while she's in jail, she shouldn't be there?
Well, I just think at 16, I don't think your mind has fully developed to you know what you know that you are doing. Now what I can also say is that with these children now, when they go through stuff or they've already been in the system, it's I don't care anymore because I've already been there. You know, so whatever you do to me, I don't care. I'm not trying to fix me. This is who I am. So my point to this is that if at 16 you put me in prison for life, then there's no need for me to behave. What's the worst thing that can happen to me now? You kill me? Well, then you just end my sentence.
Okay, so if they were to put her, now I'm not saying either way how I feel. I'm just trying to understand the, you know, some of the things you're saying. So if you were to put her in a mental institution, are we saying that there's no chance that she would get that same concept to say, forget it, I don't care, I'm here. Oh, they got me in the mental institution forever. I might as well act mental. Is there a possibility of that?
Well, I'm sure there is. Again, it depends on how far that she got. I'm sure there is a possibility that she's at the point of no return. But I think in a mental institution, you know, they're going to diagnose you with things if there is a diagnosis, you know, and then try to work on you or work with you, you know, probably put you on meds or probably do this or, you know, counsel you, you know, in a mental institution as opposed to just, you know, throwing you in a facility and, you know, 6, 12, 5, you know, we have roll call.
Okay. You know, what would seem best to me for people like her, because even adults, you know, who have some type of loose screw, if you will, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what happens when these type people go to jail. And part of my thought would be, you know, do you have a facility where you put the criminally insane? You know, where it's going to be kind of a dual process of serving time for your crime as well as getting the help you need. And I don't even know if that's a possibility, but that would be the best of both worlds because either side,
right,
you can throw your hands up in the air. Because if you know you ain't going nowhere for the rest of your life, you are going to become a product of your environment. And you're not going to care no way. So, you know, prayerfully, you know, there's something like this, you know, and you know, we can rally, you know, for something like this. Because I do believe that throwing somebody in jail at 16 years old is really nothing is going to get accomplished except for you make an adult criminal, because it's going to be about survival after a while, because you're not going to be able to stay in a juvenile facility. You're not, you know what I'm saying? Eventually you're going to move to an adult facility.
So now, again, you become a product of your environment. You're not going to care. You're not going to care. You're going to sleep with one eye open. You're going to be, like you said, trying to shank somebody, or, you know, you don't know what happens to people once you're locked up like that. But it's sad that at 16 years old, here's where we are. Because, again, you know, I have to, and I want to stay here for a couple of minutes, because I'm going to be honest. They've always said that once you, and I'm going to come to you, Brother Al, you know, they say once you get sexually involved with someone, and I'm not even going to talk about the spiritual level right now, but once you get sexually involved, your mind starts to go a little twisted. Now, I want to hear from my audience, 347-285-7777. Now, I've heard chemical imbalance happen, you know, the chemicals in your body change. And this is from experts. I'm not talking about, you know, on the street. I've heard that, you know, relationships shift because now there's another dynamic involved between the two of you. I've heard, you know, if you go on the side of the spiritual side, you know, you have to deal with the transference. You know, they say, you know, the word in the Bible is, you know, once you sleep with the prostitute, you become one. So there's some transference of spirits and things like that. You know, I'm going to come back to you, Pastor Tail. But Brother Al, what's your thought on that?
It's true. And, you know, that's why I said what I said earlier about, you know, parents, they're so caught up with a man will open the door for you, this, and they don't get deep into that. Because we all been virgins at one time, you know, and we know what we went through when we had that first experience. You know, everything changed. You know, your body didn't change because now something didn't happen to your body that never, ever happened before, that you never experienced before. And then you're like, okay, cool. Of course, now you want to do it again. Now this person is acting up, or this person messing around and seeing somebody else. And you're like, whoa, hold up. Well, didn't mean you just had something? And you ain't going to do what? Don't you know I kill you? You know, so that whole thing changes, your attitude. You know, like my son. When my son experienced his first sexual act, I knew because he was just different. I'm like, boy, you all right? And yeah, Dad, I'm good. Uh-huh. All right. You know, so by just watching him, I knew something had went down because his whole attitude changed. So it changes you. It really does. And we don't talk to our kids enough about that to at least try to get them prepared. Can't fully get them prepared, but talk to them about that instead of just saying, oh, a real man will open a door for you. Or if he like you, he'll open your car door. No, get a little deeper than that.
Okay. Pastor Kale, what's your thought? Is there any truth to any of these things?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely truth. I mean, I can talk about me. You know, my first time, I thought I saw skyrockets and fireworks and all types of stuff. And, you know, I was in love. You know what I mean? I was trying to plant a flag, you know, just to say that I conquered, you know, Plymouth Rock or whatever. But and then your whole mind is crazy. You can't, you know, your parents can't say nothing about that little ugly girl. You know, your sister can't say nothing about the fat girl, you know, because she's the best in the world. And you will fight and kill somebody over your first piece. You know, so, I mean, I know that to be a fact. And then, you know, when you find out that she's not into you as much as you're into her, and it's easy for her to just move on, you are destroyed. You want to kill her and everybody in her family. You want to kill her parents for producing her.
Okay. Well, you know, based on all of these chemical changes, you know, and situations shifting, who you are shifts, then, you know, it does say something for where you're ultimately placed because, again, everybody's chemical imbalance ain't the next person's chemical imbalance and maybe her chemical imbalance with something that may have already been off kilter
could possibly take you there. So, well, I don't know. You know, unfortunately, this is what they have planned for her. Life in prison without parole. So, you know, maybe they'll, like I said, I do know of some law changes, you know, more recent years, and hopefully something will apply to her. All right. Pastor KL, we're talking about, you know, Joy Bell from The View, who states that, you know what, y'all may drag your feet now with all these children getting killed with these, you know, guns, these guns, and you won't shift the gun laws. But I bet you if, she says, once black people get guns in this country, oh, it will all shift. Do you agree?
Yes or no. I disagree simply because they want us to have guns, you know, because then there's a reason to kill us. You know, so, I mean, because look at it. If all these stories went down with a black person behind the gun, it would not have been over the way it's been over. We would not have walked away and been talked about and interviewed. We'd have been dead. We'd have been dead with everybody else. It would have gave them a reason to kill us. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. It's almost like, you know, we won't put these gun laws in place because you want to bait us. You want to bait us to get these guns. I mean, they're killing us for anything. If we put a gun in our hand, maybe they're gonna slaughter us. It's going to be a wrap.
Okay. Something to think about. All right. R. Kelly. He's been following this story here on his due time. You and Brother Al and myself, we talked about this situation that he's gotten himself in. So now they have sentenced him. I'm sorry. They have convicted him here in New York. And he has 9 charges in racketeering and sex trafficking trial. And now it's time to sentence him. So they say the minimum sentence is 10 years, but the prosecutors here in New York want to give him 20, they're hoping the judge gives him 25 years instead of the 10. Do you think the punishment fits the crime?
I think 10 years. I think 25 years, you know, you went above and beyond, you know, and like Brother Al says, you know, there's other people who was part of this plan, who made this thing happen, you know, so he wasn't there by himself. So now he's going to take it, you know, when you say, hey, man, just take one for the team. Now you're taking one for the whole team, for everybody. I think 10 years is enough.
Okay. Now, considering that all these other people were people at his mercy, you know, he was the one who was calling the shots and, you know, sent the people out to go get the girls and all of these kind of things. So, you know, it wasn't like he had a partner in crime in essence. You know, they were out there, you know, facilitating his needs. You know, I want to talk to you gentlemen about this. The other day we were looking at the Bobby Brown biography on A&E. And they talked about stuff like this, about how, you know, and even the I think he was a bodyguard. I think he was a former bodyguard. You know, when he talked about how they would go, and Bobby Brown said, like, when they did from the first song, he would have those guys in the audience scouting out which girls to pull up. The first one to raise their hand would be the one that he would pull up on the stage. And the former bodyguard is telling the story, and there's no remorse. This was like the highlight of his life.
these were the things that they did. There was no, you know what, we were wrong. There was no, you know, wow, I can't believe we did that. You know, it was like going down memory lane and admiring what you did. And I'm like, yo, you know, you just helped this man commit all kinds of crimes. And, you know, you are not, you're not doing this on your own. You're gonna benefit from it because, you know, they too get the girls and they too get the women. But there was nothing. There was nothing. And I watched this stupid smirk, and I just kept looking at Shanti's, and it was just annoying me, I mean, to the core. It was just like he didn't even care. And I'm saying to myself, so many years later, you don't have any remorse or anything going on. You're just as bad as him, but you're working for him. And I don't even know if I would want to give them a harsher sentencing. What's your thought, Brother Al?
Yeah, that's just crazy. Because again, like you said, they getting something out the deal because these women will do anything. Hey, listen, if you can get me close to him, I'll do this with you. You know, and for them, like you said, to sit there with no remorse and like, you know what, I'm just gonna just do it. That's just insane.
Yeah, you know, it's. I remember when they were doing the R. Kelly series thing episode, and they were talking about Aaliyah and what happened with her, and when the guy was talking, you could tell he was an older gentleman, and you could tell that there was some. If I could do this all over again, it wouldn't go down like that. You know, he knew. This was the one that knew but didn't say anything. I think he helped get the fake ID. And you could just tell. And he just the look on his face, the tone of his voice, him shaking his head, you know, to like what he was saying. You could tell. Yeah, he helped to arrange the marriage. You could just tell, like, if I could do this all over again, I would be involved. I would fix this. Well, what's your thought, Pastor Kale? I say they get more time. I don't know. You out there literally doing these things, but you're working for these artists, these entertainers, these athletes. You're working for these people. And you're definitely partnering up with them, but I say get more time. I don't know. That's my feeling.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, I look at it from two different avenues, Pastor Steph. I mean, I'm agree with you. If they're doing it like that, you know, saying setting them up for these young girls and stuff like that, they should definitely get time. You know, and that's what I was saying. You know, you're gonna take one for the whole team. But I will say, in my former life, you know, a lot of y'all know that I used to sing background for some good celebrities. And just getting off the plane, knowing that you're a background singer, you know, you get almost the same kind of benefits that the actual artist get. You know, no, I wasn't looking for the 16-year-olds and stuff like that. But I'm saying I've had my share of women just because of association. You know, and you know, those folks, you know, they kind of did it wrong. But just because I'm in the clique, you gonna get everything that the clique gets. So if you run it in the clique like that, then you should get the punishment for that.
Yeah. It's you know, and one of the things that, you know, I hear with, you know, the take one for the whole team. Yeah, you need to take one for the whole team because you're the one out there paying for all of this. You're out there. You didn't send these people out. Yeah, you need to take one for the whole team. And unfortunately, you're the only one who's taking it for the whole team. But should you take it for the whole team? In my opinion, yes. Because if it weren't for you, ain't nobody else getting none. At least not by, you know, not having a domino effect from you. So, oh, well, too bad for you. All right. You got these men. I'm serious. It's like, you know what, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. You know what, you did it. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I let me tell you, I love me some R. Kelly. I love me some R. Kelly. But, you know, we got to get to the point where, you know what, you done messed up, brother. And now whether they make you the example or not, you messed up. So, you know, I'm looking at it. If it were one of my girls, how would I feel? You know, there's a lot of things to think about when it comes to this. You know, hopefully we raise our children better. But you know what? I look at Shanti, who did not have any reason to do the stuff she did, but she did. So, you know, this ain't got nothing to do with parents at times. You know, she couldn't say she learned any of that stuff at home. So, you know, sometimes no matter how you raise your children, they're going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do. So, I don't know. I don't know. All right. So we got this last story, Pastor KL, where we are talking about, you know, these women or this woman. She preyed on these men at the end of the night. They would watch the men who were too, you know, intoxicated to really make it home. And they started offering them rides and started ripping them off. And now there's 17 counts against this woman. And she's got 28 and a half years that she could possibly face. And, you know, what is that too much, or would that fit the crime?
I say that fit the crime. I know people don't say no, that's too much, but I say that fit the crime. You did this for a living. This was your daily job, you know. And had you not gotten caught, you would continue to do it because it worked for you. You know, now you got caught. You got to pay the piper. You know, especially with the money that you're claiming that she has received. Oh, she's lived a life that some folks would never get that kind of money, even working a real job. So yeah, she should stay in there. She's in retirement now. So go to your retirement home.
Well, she's what, 35 years old? So another potential 30 years as she'll be 65 coming out of this jail if they gave her this 28 and a half years that they're saying she could possibly get. Brother Al, I want to ask you, can you give us a story where you don't feel the punishment fit the crime in your life, where God pardoned you and you got slapped instead of smashed?
Oh man, it's so many. Well, I deserve to go down. And you know, and God gave me a pass. I remember, you know, in my college days, hanging out and drinking like a madman and driving and get home and don't even realize how I got home. I woke up and I'm in front of my dorm sitting in the car with the car running asleep, and I don't even realize how I got home. And you know, and God gave me a pass. You know what I'm saying? I could have killed somebody. I could have killed myself, you know. But God gave me a pass. And that's just like one of the crazy stories. So he's gave me passes many a time.
Okay, how far was the dorm from where you were driving? How far?
Oh, man, I would say miles. It wasn't a close ride, I know that. Well, I actually had to get on the highway. Because, you know, down south, everything, you got to get on the highway to go to, you know, to wherever you're going. And I remember getting in the car. Okay, I remember getting in the car and turning the car on, and that's all I remember. Next thing you know, when I woke up, I was in front of my dorm. And I'm like, wow, you know, did somebody else drive? I'm in the car by myself. I'm like, wow.
Wow. That's definitely one where God, that punishment didn't fit that crime. Wow. What? I'll take a story number two.
You were talking to me fast stuff. I'm sorry. Yes. No, I'm sorry. What did you say? I was giving a student song. Go ahead. I'm good.
We'll take a second story.
Okay. I thought they. Let me see a second story. These women I was sleeping with, you know, being in college and being a basketball star, I got a little taste of what these stars goes through, which, you know, Pastor Kel could talk about. And I was, you know, they made it easy for us. They were starstruck. So, you know what? I could do what I want to do. Oh, you don't want to sleep with me or go with me? All right, forget you then. I'll get somebody else. You know, and it became a cocky attitude. So sleeping with all these women and didn't get a major disease. You know, that's another blessing. Because I wasn't using protection. That's why I got four kids by four different women. It's not something I'm proud of, but I accept what I've created, what I've done. And, you know, being with these women and not get a disease.
Absolutely. Because it only takes one time.
One time. And absolutely. I've seen some that done it one time and got herpes or got this or got that. And I didn't. So that was another pass. I got about 50,000 more passes if you want to know.
Wow. Amen to that. But amen to that, that God does not always, you know, our iniquities are not really dealt with. Thank you for your openness. Pastor KL, you know, where's the time where the punishment didn't fit the crime? God didn't address, you know, you the way he could have.
Well, I mean, I'm with Brother Al. You know, I think the reason why they say that I should not fornicate is because they knew I was coming. You know, I was the king of fornication. You know, I was the king of having sex out of wedlock. I created the jet setter. You know, I would meet people, and back in the days, we didn't have Facebook and all that stuff. We had what's called the party line. I would talk my crap on the party line, listen to them. They would give me their number. We would talk. They'd send me the picture through email because, again, we didn't have Facebook. And I would get on a plane, and they'd tell me, come by. And when I tell you get on a plane, I'm not saying the train, a plane. And I will fly miles away to see somebody I've never seen in person, you know. And, you know, I could have got killed when I got to their house. I could have got robbed when I got to the house and thrown outside the door, you know. Like Brother Al said, I could have contracted a disease after leaving their house. And not only did I do it the first time, but I continuously did it. You know, it was a continual thing, you know. So not only did I not learn after the first piece wasn't good enough, I needed to get another high. That was my high of choice. And my high of choice, I made good money in New York, so I got on a plane. I didn't have no responsibility, no children living with me, so I can get up and go anytime I wanted to. I wrote my own schedule because I was the boss. And I got up and I went seeking someone else, seeking one who I may devour because I was the devil.
Wow. Okay. We'll take a story number two. We got a couple of extra minutes. We'll take a story number two.
A story number two. I used to go, you know, I was that kid, you know, that went into stores with no money.
and didn't want to window shop. You know, so I would go shopping with no money, if you understand. And kept on coming out with groceries. You know, and God saw it. He covered me that I never got caught. Never went to jail for that. You know what I mean? I should have been in jail. Or the stoner should have beat my, should have took me in the back room and beat the crap out of me. But I would go consistently to the same store and go shopping.
Wow. Wow. Did you go to the same store because you kind of knew, you know, what you could do? And that's why you didn't try another store?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all say if it's not broke, don't fix it. So why sacrifice things? Why try something else, you know, which it might not work? I know where the Twinkies are in this store. I know where the camera is in this store. You know, I know where the cashier or whatever you want to call it, the attendant is in this store. You know, so I know how to get stuff out of it. Why go and have to try a whole other store? This stuff right here is convenient. You know, you go where stuff is convenient. And like I always say, you know, when people go places or work for you, you know, they don't always go to steal. But if you give them the opportunity, we're opportunists. We're going to take it. If it's that easy, okay. How many times we went to Ponderosa and came out with a pocketbook or napkins full of chicken? Full of chicken. Now, it was all in any place, so we had it on our plate. But we made sure we had chicken for that night. We purposely went to the store with a bag. I never forget, I had a Louis Vuitton bag, and my mom almost beat the crap out of me when I came home because I had fried chicken in the Louis Vuitton clutch. Yeah, that's what we do.
Wow, wow, wow. Brother Al, what's an instance where the punishment did fit the crime and God smashed you as he should have?
You said where the punishment fit the crime?
Yeah, and God dealt with you accordingly.
Oh, boy. I was saved with having these children by these four different women. You know, I went out there, you know, not being protected and doing stupidness. Now I got four kids by four different mamas. And when I tell you them four different mamas gave me hell. Every time I turned around, one got something to say. Oh, he need a pair of sneakers. Okay, I got him a pair of sneakers. Well, why didn't you buy him two pairs of sneakers? Because I got to buy sneakers for my other child. Well, I don't care about the other child. All I care about is mine. Well, you know what? They both mine, so I have to do that. I don't care. Well, you know what? You don't want to get two pairs of sneakers? I'm going to child support. Are you serious? Now I get a call 2 days later from another baby mama. When you coming by to pick him up? Well, I got to work. I don't care. I didn't have him all this money. You can come get him. Well, okay. Then the next baby mama. So it was four baby mamas that gave me pure hell. So, oh boy, I paid. I definitely paid on that one.
Wow. How far, what's the age difference, Brother Al?
Let's see. My oldest son is 37. My youngest son, I mean, let's see, what, 37. And my son that passed away was 36, so that was a year apart. And then my next son is 20. No, he's 30. And then the young one is 27. So if you add them up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, with no big gap between them. Yeah. Okay,
right.
Well, I would definitely say that punishment fit the crime. Woo! Pastor KL, where was there a time when God said, "I'm not letting you get away with this one"?
Yeah, I hate to do it, but I got to go with Brother Al. I mean, I've had quite a few children, and not only did I have quite a few children on the escapades that I spoke about, one of the mothers was so strung out on drugs that I had custody of my son from 3 months old. Now think about it. A gigolo, a pimp, now tagging along with a 3-month-old child that I got to change pampers, You know, I got to feed. I got to know how to take care of. 3 months old, you know, and my whole lifestyle was come and go as you are. And then if that doesn't, if I didn't learn from there, I find out 12 years later, you know, that I have a daughter who now, because the mother is in jail, I have to take custody of her. And now I'm taking custody of her, a 12-year-old. Also, mind you, I still have my son. So, you know, God's got a strange sense of humor. I don't think it's funny sometimes, but, you know, he has a strange sense of humor. And some things that you do in your past will come back and bite you in the present. And if you don't know how to take care of it, it'll destroy your future.
Wow. Wow. Ooh. Yeah, you know, you gentlemen, you know, talk quite often about this experience. And, you know, I'm glad you did bring it up the way you did, because both of you spoke of, you know, where God allowed a pass, and that was the pass. During the time, he didn't, you know, he didn't, you know, inflict or allow you to become ill, but you ended up feeling that pain later. So what we thought was a pass in 1971 became our, you know, our hard reality in 1975. So, you know, I'm glad you both told the stories the way you did. I'm glad you addressed the way you did. Thank you so very much for your openness and your candidacy, I want to say. You know, thank you so much for sending us into the weekend with some thought-provoking information. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Likewise.
You too. And they should know on the Due Time Show, this is where you hear the truth. We tell you the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Wow. What some stories. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. Let's take this time to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh God, you've been such a wonderful, awesome wonder. We thank you, God, for all the times that you said yes, as well as all the times you said no. God, we just got finished hearing testimony of what we considered to be a pass and what was ultimately a pass, because it could always be worse. And although you spared these lives of one thing, we still had to face our actions later. But we thank you because you're still merciful in everything you do. There is still grace that prevails at all times. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us and helping us to learn a lesson without just smashing us. And Lord, we're going to lift up these individuals that we talked about in the news before you, God, the young lady who set the house on fire, and now that fire claimed 3 lives. And she's about to face a fate, God, that, you know, the system may not even care about. They just want to make her pay for her actions. But because we know that, you know, she was created on purpose, with a purpose, and for a purpose, that you could turn all of this around, God. And whether she be in a mental facility or whether she be in a prison without any care as to her mental state, we know that if you want to deal with her differently, you will. So, Lord, we're asking you to just touch her life, God. And as she's continually saying, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, we pray, God, that you would just change her heart, because we can't move forward without a confession in our mouth and in our heart, without that repentance. And if we're not honoring what we did, we can't repent. So, Lord, we're asking you to touch her life. Heavenly Father, we're coming to you on behalf of R. Kelly, God, that a predator at his best. But again, because we know that his origin started with him being a victim, that unfortunately he grew
to not become a protector, but to become a perpetrator. So, God, we're asking you that even at this time where he has to face a sentencing, that in and of himself, he accepts the responsibility of what he did, on how he's preyed on these young ladies, how he's manipulated them, God, that he still needs to take ownership for his actions and his behavior, God. So that even the cellmate or someone else could hear and possibly be turned around to Heavenly Father. Lord, for this woman who was preying on the drunkards, and again, she herself, someone who's victimized other people for a living, and she could potentially face a harsh sentencing herself. We pray, God, that you just deal with her, touch her heart and her mind, so that she realizes that what she did, God, is no good. That it is not worth manipulating and lying to get over, because it all catches up with you. So we thank you, God, that even as we covered these stories, that we learned a lesson, God. From the testimonies, we learned a lesson that it could be us, that it has been us at one point or another, but we just didn't get that the sentencing right in our face. But are we scheduled to be sentenced for 18 years? Possibly. Are we scheduled to have to face sentencing? And if we were to just be open and honest with you, that just may tip the scale. I don't know. But I pray, God, that as we all sit front and center at the sound of these stories, that we would pay attention to the ultimate moral. Seek you first, and you will add all the proper things behind it. That if we delight ourselves in you, that you would give us the desires of our hearts, and we would not have to manipulate people. We would not have to go on a jealous rage. We don't have to act as though we have no sense. Our passion is misdirected. So, Lord, we're asking you to cover everybody who hears this episode, whether they hear it today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, but that you would cover each and every single one of us, that we would learn the lesson that you would have us to learn as individuals, and we would continue to give you glory and honor. So rightly be your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, we talk about the punishment fit the crime, and we all have testimonies of how God could have and probably should have, but he didn't. We have all have testimony of, you know what? Yeah, he dealt with me. And I pray that, as you heard me say, that we learn from our mistakes, that, you know, when God allows that to be an oops, that, like Pastor Kale and Brother Al said, you don't just keep going back. You don't just keep acting as though nothing happened, but that you would pay attention to everything that's going on around you, and you would realize that, you know what, I'm going to chill. I'm going to make sure that I don't get smashed when God has already allowed me a pass. And that's what happens with a whole lot of us. We're not paying attention. We're not paying attention, and we're not appreciating the pass that God gives us, because it doesn't have to repeat itself later on in life. God could allow that thing to just go into smoke.
but that really may depend on us. If he feels that we have not learned, yeah, we may have to deal with that thing 2 years later. You know, if he feels like we've learned enough and he understands, we might get that pass. But don't position yourself to have to ask or expect that pass. That's not what you want. You want to make sure you do everything the way God has set out for us to do. We have a new episode, a new show coming up on Monday evening at 8 o'clock. And it's called In the Face of Danger. And, you know, we think about everything that God does for us. And how many times have we put ourselves in the line of fire and God has said, you know what, I'm going to open up this door and give you a way out. In the face of danger, only he could have brought me out is the test. And we're going to have amazing and dramatic accounts of how God rescued individuals from sin and danger. It will... Our first episode will be Monday, June 13th at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, sometimes God has to deal with us in certain ways. And now, you know, when we're in the face of this dangerous point, what happens? Because sometimes no matter what we couldn't get ourselves out of that. No, we couldn't get ourselves out of that at all. And we might be sitting there praying. You know, we may be talking about God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. Whatever it is we're saying to God, or whatever we may have prayed about, or we may not have prayed at all. But God, because he's God, he will give us a way of escape. So, you know, there's a lot of stories we talk about here on this due time. And we, you know, because, you know, the time is shared with other individuals, you know, it's limited as to what what can be said. But we're going to get that up close and personal account and ask questions. We'll open up the floor to those who are viewing. To ask questions, if you like, or if you just want to sit back and listen and view what's going on and what's being said, then so be it. But it will air again on Monday, June 13th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be on Facebook Live as well as YouTube Live. And again, the Facebook is Coach for Christian Life. YouTube is A Closer Walk Christian Talk Show. I'm not sure whether we're going to be able to stream to Blog Talk or not, but I will definitely, make the attempt. But everybody, if you get internet, you can get YouTube. And if you can get YouTube, you can get YouTube Live. Please don't miss the opportunity to participate and view a testimony that could be life-changing for you. You know, God has opened up a lot of doors and he's putting out a lot of different ways for us to seek him, for us to realize we need him. It's a different day and time. And just going to church and passing out a tract or, you know, even having, you know, just the sermons on YouTube and, you know, internet and Facebook and things like that. You know, all of that is good because that way, you know, if you're not in service, you might be able to pull up, you know, a sermon or something where, you know, might, you know, make you think and change the way you're doing things. But the enemy is coming stronger. And because the enemy is coming stronger, we're going to have to understand that God is going to have to move in a lot of different ways, because he's going to have to open up doors of communication where his people are going to be able to hear that he's calling them. And if it means that we've got to get more shows out there and we've got to minister in a different manner, then so be it. He's going to do whatever it is he needs to do. And that's why I encourage you to make sure you not only listen, you not only view, but you invite others. It's somebody we all know who needs God, but who keeps running away from him. They, you know, Pastor Kale always said that, you know, God is talking, but he ain't talking to me. And God has got to move differently now to reach his people on their level. It doesn't mean that he's dropping his standards, but it means that he's doing whatever it is that he needs to do to make sure that no one can say that they were not given an opportunity to seek Jesus, because that's his word. His word says that by the time I send my son back, by the time I claim this entire world, everybody would have been given an opportunity. And just like, you know, we were talking about earlier with this young lady, you know, if you put her in jail, will she get the message? Will her issues be dealt with? Would they have met her and gotten the message across the way she needs the message to reach her? Putting her in prison probably won't. I'm in agreement. Although she deserves that, it probably won't allow her to really think, because again, she'll go into survival mode. Because even if she goes into a juvenile facility now, they're just as ruthless as the prison system, just on a different age level. So God is adjusting what he's doing and how he's bringing him to us, himself to us. And if he's got to bring it through somebody else's testimony, then absolutely. If he's got to do it by bringing someone else before us and that person pours themselves out, absolutely. We've got another show starting later this month, an intimate connection with Pastor Steph, where we're also going to hear some heartfelt stories of how God brought us through. And everybody's testifying, you know, God brought me from a mighty long way. But do we really hear? And some people say, you know, that's my business. I don't have to tell it. Well, your business and your testimony is not just for you. You've learned your lesson already. But now God's going to use us to bless other lives. So you just may be that individual, but you'll be able to hear different accounts. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, Amen, for ushering us into the weekend, giving us some thought-provoking account of how God can deal with you. And when God allows you, he allows us to get that little quote-unquote pass. Thank you for hanging out with us all week, and we pray that you have a blessed one. Please do not miss the opportunity to give Jesus your life right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, Godspeed, where we'll have the Word Prayer Project. Come on in the room. We don't know what we'll be praying for. I love you.